Okay, it's really my pleasure to be here this morning. Our topics of heroes and villains in Tanakh, right? A very interesting topic. This morning we heard from Dr. J.J. Schechter about the idea of the perfection or imperfection of the Avot and Imahot. He did more of a background. We didn't get into the brass tacks and the details. Today, what we're going to be doing is dealing with Cain v'Hevel. And not only see Cain v'Hevel as individuals in Tanakh, which we will, we're also going to see how the story of Cain v'Hevel really has echoes throughout Tanakh in general. Meaning, do we see intertextuality, which means how does Tanakh interpret the story of Cain v'Hevel, and how do we see the lessons that you learn from Cain v'Hevel within Tanakh itself? So that's one thing that we're going to do, which means, what does the story of Cain v'Hevel teach us, and how does Tanakh view, meaning how do the other Sfarim, how does Torah and Nevi'im look at the story of Cain v'Hevel as an example, meaning what do you learn from Cain v'Hevel? So we're going to see that in Tanakh. So that's a kind of intertextuality, which means in Tanakh, how do you understand Cain v'Hevel? And itself, how do you understand the Pshat? The second thing we're going to do is how do the Parshanim understand Cain v'Hevel? Which means also from the Parshan point of view, what lesson should you take with you when you study Cain v'Hevel? And do they look at Tanakh as a whole to learn examples to understand Cain v'Hevel? Or it's just in its own place? What Cain v'Hevel, what the Pshat is telling you in its own place, and what are the lessons that you learn? So those are the things we're really going to do today. We are going to try to finish our whole source sheet. We will get to the end, so that's where we're actually going to start and make sure that we really cover the basis. So the main questions, even before we read the Pshat, are as such. So what is competition in Tanakh? What is self-improvement? What does it mean that you should achieve your full potential? How do we see that in Tanakh? So the Cain v'Hevel issue is really going to be a very important issue to really be the paradigm for this question, which means what does it mean to be a person on the face of the earth and to be successful? Whereas earlier we spoke about the idea of paragon of perfection of Imahot and Avot, that's not what we're dealing with now. Meaning what is a job of the human being, right, on the face of this earth? And what do we expect of a person in his ability to function well, to be successful, and what makes someone a hero and what makes someone a villain? So I'm really trying to keep to the general theme of today. So those are some of the questions that we're going to ask. So we're first going to read about Cain v'Hevel. Let's see what the Pshat says. And then we're going to ask some of our questions and see throughout Tanakh how is this issue really dealt with. So we're in Breshit Perek Dalet, and we're reading the issue of Cain v'Hevel. V'adam yadat chava ishto, v'tar v'teled et Cain, v'tomer kaniti ish et Hashem. Chava gives birth, right? And she names the child. Again, if I was doing another shir, it would be all about the women naming the children, how important the role of the women is in Tanakh. But today we're actually picking a gender-neutral topic. So Chava names Cain, right? Vatomer kaniti ish et Hashem. Vatosef laledet et achiv et hevel. Vayhi hevel ro'e tzon v'kain haya ro'e oved adama. Meaning she continues to give birth, and she gives birth to his brother, right? It's the first time we have the concept of brother, right? Cain v'Hevel are brothers. It's Vatosef laledet, and this is a big issue. When she gives birth to Hevel, is the name Hevel, which means insignificance, is that she originally intended to give this name? Cain is the main one. He's the Bechor. And Hevel is only a satellite or a reflection of Cain, which means the Bechor is everything, right? Primogeniture. And the second one is really not as important. Or only after what happened to Hevel do we have the meaning of Hevel being a secondary, not as important. Because when Cain kills Hevel, all of his potential is really lost. So we have those two issues. Right, we have Rav Hirsch on one side who says, no, lechatchila, the name Hevel already implies that she didn't think much of son number two. But we don't know. So we have Vatosef laleda et achiv. But first time we have Hevel represented to us, he's represented to us as the brother of Cain. Vayhi miketz yamim, after a while, vayave Cain mipriya adama mincha l'Hashem. Cain brings from his produce mincha l'Hashem. Cain brings a present to Hashem, and we have a very interesting debate here of Ramban versus the Rambam. Look in your sheets on number four. And the Ramban already says that when Cain brings a mincha l'Hashem, the Ramban, Breshit, Perek Dalet, Vayave Cain mipri adama mincha l'Hashem, vehevel hevi gamhu, hevinu ha'anashim ha'ele sod gadol me'akorbanot v'hamnachot. When Cain and Hevel bring a korban to Hashem, a mincha l'Hashem, they realize a very big secret of life. And what's the big secret of life? Right? That the idea is that you're going to give something to Hashem, and that is something that is from the deepest need of Adam, and that Hashem wants it as well. Because Vayisha Hashem el Hevel ve'el minchato, which means Hashem turned to Hevel and his mincha, which means that Hashem wants korbanot. And Hashem looks positively at korbanot. We know that was a huge debate, whereas the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, right, are korbanot ideal, lechatchila, or not necessarily. Ramban wants to say that korbanot are ideal, lechatchila, and that's what Hashem wanted. And how do we see that? Because when Cain and the Hevel bring korbanot, Hevel's korban, right, Hashem turns and accepts Hevel korban. So this is what Hashem wanted, lechatchila, from the beginning, which means what Cain and the Hevel did are totally accepted and wanted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'raboteinu amru, shegam adam harishon ikriv shorbar, which means we even have a midrash, even though it's not in the pshat, that even Adam HaRishon was makriv a korban. V'zeh yachsom pi hamavilim, the people who speak negatively about korban, v'tam ha-korbanot. V'oder mozbo ikar gadol b'rtzon ha-kodesh baruch hu. And in Vayikra, Ramban goes into a whole beautiful peroration about korbanot. But the point is, when Hevel and Cain bring a korban to Hashem, it's something that Hashem wants. And when Hashem turns to Hevel's korban, we're back to page one, we're back to Breshit, Perek Dalet. And when Hashem turns to Cain's korban, to Hevel's korban, it is something that Hashem wants, which means what Cain did by bringing a korban, right, something mipri adama was positive, but when Hevel sees that Cain brought a korban, Hevel one-ups him, he does a better job, he brings mibchorot sono michel vehen, right, he brings from the better, from the first, also the idea of bechor is brought in here, right? Vayisha Hashem el Hevel ve'en el minchato. What does Hashem do? Hashem turns, accepts Hevel and his mincha. So now we get to the issue that we want to deal with today. What happens here? Pasukei. Ve'el Kain ve'el minchato lo sha'a. But Hashem doesn't turn to Kain and his mincha. Vayichar l'Kain ma'od, vayiplu panav. So Kain is angry and his face falls. And the question is, so how is Hashem going to deal with Kain's anger? With Cain's disappointment. And what does Hashem say? Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Hashem el Cain, lama chara lecha v'lama naflu panecha. It's an exact correlation to Cain's upset, meaning his behavior. Right? Lama chara lecha v'yichar l'Cain, v'lama naflu panecha v'yiplu panav. Which means Hashem totally understands and realizes what is Cain's problem. What is upsetting Cain? Hashem totally understands. And he asks him, Lama chara lecha v'lama naflu panecha? Hashem addresses Cain's issue. What's different than what we had with Adam and Chava? Adam and Chava sin, and when they're going through the sin with the Nachash, Hashem doesn't intervene in the middle. Right? Hashem doesn't then intervene when the Nachash is trying to convince Chava. Hashem doesn't intervene in the middle. When does Hashem intervene? Hashem only intervenes after the chet, after already, right, they ate from Etz Hadat. Then Hashem asks different questions. He asks him factual questions. He asks him, Ayeka, right, where are you? And he asks him, Tamina Etz, did you eat from the tree? And then what can Adam answer? Only yes or no. But he can't change the fact that he did what? That he ate from the tree. They ate from Etz Hadat. Here already with Cain v'Hevel, which is very different with Cain, which means Hashem intervenes after Cain is upset. Which means Hevel brought a better korban, Cain sees this, that Hashem accepts Hevel korban, and Cain is upset and Hashem intervenes. And he intervenes with the why questions. Why are you upset? Why? And the question is, should Cain be able to answer here? Or does Hashem want to elaborate? What is he looking for? So what we find here, Hashem elaborates, which means when you're upset or when something happens to you, when you feel this anger, right, what should be your course of action? So if Hashem just opened it with lama, so Cain would only answer, maybe he doesn't really understand why. But Hashem is giving him the key, which we're going to see in general, is the key to life. which means what is the key to behavior in life? What is the key to success? What is the key if you have someone who's doing better than you, who is overshadowing you, who is outdoing you? How do you respond to that kind of competition? So Hashem is giving him the keys, and we're going to see how Pshat sees it throughout Tanakh and how the Parshanim sees. He says this, Halo, im teitiv se'et, and we're going to do a loose translation because part of what we're going to do is to really do the translations here. Halo, im teitiv se'et, if you better yourself, you can raise yourself up. Because who has jumped over Cain? Hevel. Who has outstripped Cain? Hevel. So he's telling him, im teitiv, if you improve yourself, se'et, you can raise yourself up. Which means, Hevel saw you, he raised himself up above you. What could you do now? You can improve yourself and raise yourself above him, right? In our society, anything you bring, anything you do, anything you say is beautiful, is wonderful, it's not PC, right? Can you tell someone, you know, that you're doing better than somebody else, or, your work is better? Clearly, even though we always say it's not PC to say that, we do it all the time. What are marks? What are judgments? What is success? What is accomplishment, right? We really do that all the time, but we don't want to acknowledge it in our society. But clearly, how do you really set yourself for improvement? So Hashem says, im teitiv se'et. If you improve yourself, se'et. Vim lo teitiv, but if you don't improve yourself, lafeta chatat roves. This lacune in your life, and this failure is going to always be hovering next to you. Ve'elecha tshukato, it will always be bothering you, and it's always going to be gnawing at you, and it's always going to be yearning, and it's always going to be trying to destroy you. But vatatim sholbo, but you can overcome it. You can rule over it, which means you have the ability to overcome this feeling of helplessness, of loss, of anger, of busha, of your face falling, which means you have the tools, which means the way man was created, right? That man has the tools in order to always do better, always overcome. And who used those tools? Hevel. He saw what Cain did. He tried to do a step higher. So what is Hashem telling Cain? What's life about? You also can do better and improve yourself, right? And if you do that, right, you will be able to control the negative urges or the angry urges, which what is your original impulse? To be angry at Hevel, which means don't focus your anger at Hevel because he improved himself. You should focus inward, which means im teitiv se'et. You have to focus inwardly. And what happens? Chet. Vayomer Cain el Hevel achiv. And Cain says to Hevel, his brother, vayhi biotam basadeh, they're in the field. Vayakom Cain el Hevel achiv, vayahageu. Instead of Cain focusing inwardly and improving himself or trying to really change his condition, he decides that killing the competition is the road to self-improvement. Which means that's really what's happening here. Killing the competition is the road to self-improvement. But even before Cain does that, Hashem gives him a chance for introspection, for understanding what his emotions mean to him, what direction should he go in. But instead of taking God's advice, right, Hashem's advice, and moving in a certain direction with self-improvement, Cain looks at the enemy as whom? Hevel. And if he destroys Hevel, then he really took care of any competition in life. Because it's not a personal battle. It was really a battle with Cain. And Hashem is trying to tell him it's not a battle with Hevel. It's really a personal battle. And once he kills him, Vayomer Hashem el Cain, Ehevel Ahichicha. Right? Once he kills him, then he can ask him the what questions, like we have in Adam and Chava. He already did the chet. He killed his brother. Hashem already gave him the tools not to kill your brother for self-improvement. But Cain chooses to kill his brother. And what does he? And Hashem asks him, so where is he? And what does he answer? Vayomer Hashem el Cain, Ehevel Achicha. Vayomer, Lo Yadati, Hashomer Achi Anochi, am I my brother's keeper? Literally, Vayomer Me'asita, what'd you do? Kold Me Achicha, Tsuakim Elai Min Adama. We have two things that are going on here. Number one, right, is the idea of brother. We have earlier, Hevel is the brother of Cain. And here, constantly, we have the use of the language achiv, 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 his brother. So we have two elements here. We have the idea of humanity, right? Cain and Hevel are the first people on the face of the earth, but also the first siblings on the face of the earth. And what we're going to see throughout Tanakh is that the most extreme emotions and the most extreme behaviors are always among siblings. The idea of sibling rivalry, the idea of murder, the idea of jealousy, the idea of hatred, the idea of love, are always among siblings, which means the microcosm of humanity is really the family. So So the idea of how you behave with your family or the ones who are intimate with you really reflects how you behave with society in general. So not only is the Cain and Hevel story just about the two first people on the face of the earth, it's also the two first siblings on the face of the earth. And also throughout Tanakh, we're going to see how siblings really behave with each other. And we know that one of the first lines of behavior, right, usually the first behaviors are going to be sibling rivalry. And how you behave with that, how you do with that, how you deal with that is going to be a big issue that we're going to be discussing today. But again, so Cain kills Hevel, and he should have had some kind of brotherly responsibility. He doesn't admit to Hashem that he killed his brother, right? Hashem is also giving him a chance now to admit that he killed his brother. And Hashem says, but his blood is screaming from the earth. And this is another important metaphor that we're going to be dealing with, is that blood and the idea of earth. Also, where does he kill him? In Basadeh, in the field. And we're going to see that these words are used over and over again in Tanakh, because we're going to see that this is the paradigm of brotherly behavior, of personal success, of being able to be a success or a failure in life. And this is one of the questions that we're going to ask, meaning, is Cain really a villain because he kills his brother? Or is he really a composite figure in which we see, on the one hand, free will, on the other hand, learning experience? Does he really develop himself as an individual? Or does he really stay in the status quo? Does he ever really change, develop, do tshuva, and really rise? Or does he really stay in status quo? And what is a hero and villain in Tanakh? Now, we don't really slice people so black and white in Tanakh in general. That's one of the beauties of Tanakh. So we don't really have heroes and we don't have villains in that sense. But what makes Cain, right, an undesirable figure in Tanakh, right? He has a lot of human elements. He's not a villain, which means he's the first person. He was jealous. He was angry. He does commit murder, which is very bad, right? But the question is, what makes him more a villainous character, meaning he's not a villain, but what makes him an undesirable character? What makes Cain the individual that we don't want to emulate? What is it about Cain? So what we find here is very interesting, which is that when Hashem gives him a chance to really do tshuva, when Hashem gives him a chance to turn his life around, he doesn't really accept that challenge. And later on, when Hashem confronts him and asks him, what did you do? He doesn't admit it. He doesn't do vidui then, first and foremost. And only finally, once Hashem punishes him, right, once Hashem says, Arura tamina adama, we're in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Asher patzat pia lakachat et d'mei achicha, what's going to happen as a result of that? Right? You'll be navenad. Finally, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, he says, Gadol avoni minasa, my sin is so great. And the question is he really admitting here? Right? Pshat is Gadol Avoni Minasa, he realized he did such a terrible sin. But it happens too little and too late. And that is also a great example for us in Tanakh. Which means a person can always do tshuva, you know, a person can always turn his life around. We did this one shi'ur when we spoke about David, about Yehuda. Great leaders always sin in Tanakh. They always sin and then they do a great tshuva, and that makes them into a better person. But the question is, with Cain, does he ever really do a complete tshuva, or did he do kind of an admittance here? He admits, but he doesn't really turn his life around. And what we see with Cain, that he admits Gadol Avoni Minasa, but he never does anything with it necessarily. And as a result, Cain remains for us an undesirable character in Tanakh, one who has great potential and is guided to do the right thing, but doesn't grab the brass ring. And that is why Cain is an undesirable character. Maybe not a villain, but, you know, a lesser villain, definitely, in Tanakh. But what he becomes is the prototype for all the individuals who really don't succeed in Tanakh. Because the key here is to see other people as the problem and not yourself as the problem. Not self-improvement, but destroying the competition. And that really becomes the paradigm that we're going to see in Tanakh. And what we see later on is that we find this template, that sibling rivalry, the idea of extreme competition, the idea of making choices in Tanakh, and the choices you make are really the big issues. Can you be angry? Can there be jealousy? Can there be hatred? Absolutely. But the question is, what do you do with it? And as a result, what we see with Cain is that later on, when Adam and Chava have another son, Enosh, and then Enosh has Shet, and then Enosh, what we find is that all of continuity in Tanakh, if we look at Perek Hei, right? Pasuk Gimel and Dalet. I didn't copy that for you. When he talks about Ela Toldot Adam, we just did these parshiot in Parshat Shavuot, so you all know these backwards and forwards, right? Ela Toldot Adam, right? When we talk about the history of humanity until we get to the Mabul, who do we use as our beginning of all human history? We actually use Enosh and Shet. We don't use Cain. Right, we don't use Chanoch, we don't use Lemech, we talk about them, but continuity is really seen from Enosh and Shet, which means that they are really the continuities. If you fail in Tanakh, right, you don't have that idea of continuity, that idea of really being leaders, of being the role models, and of the template of society. So now I want to go to one of our first sibling encounters that we have in Tanakh, and that is with Yaakov and Esav. And it's very complicated. We're not doing a whole shiur on Yaakov and Esav, but I just want to point out a few things that we find here. The language that we use in Yaakov and Esav, we're in still on page 1, Bereshit Perakav Zayin. When we deal with Yaakov and Esav, if you look at the language, you'll see something very interesting. We're using the template of Cain v'Hevel for certain things in Yaakov and Esav as well. What does it say? In Pasuk Lamed, right? Ach yatzo yatzai Yaakov me'etz p'nei Yitzchak aviv, right after Yaakov receives the bracha and he leaves, ve'esav achiv ba'mitzedo. Esav comes in. Vayas gam hu matamim. What did we say about Hevel? Right? What did we say about Hevel? Ve'hevel hevi gam hu mipchorotzono mechel vehen. So Esav is an also ran. Also, what are you going to do if you are an also man? And again, it's fascinating because the story is flipped, which means here we have Esav as Hevel. It's a little complicated, but we don't have time to get into those details, right? What happens? What does he say? Vayomer lo Yitzchak aviv, mi ata? Who are you? And he says, ani bincha bechorcha Esav. I am your son, and I am the bechor. And what does he say? But who was here before? So what does he say? Vayomer ba'achicha bimirma, meaning your brother, meaning what plays a very important role here, not just the father-son relationship, but the brother relationship. And he says, "Hachi karash bo Yaakov, vayakveni ze pamaim et bechorati lakach, v'hine ata lakach birchati." Which means the idea of bechora maybe comes along with some kind of bracha. But is it automatic that once you're the bechor, you get the bracha? What did we see with Cain v'Hevel? It's not automatic. You have to earn it. Hevel, who brought a korban, he receives the bracha, or vayisha Hashem el Hevel ve'en minchato. So it's not automatic. But what do you expect by being the bechor? That you'll get it. But when he says b'chorah l'tilakach, what did Esav already do with his b'chorah? He already sold it to Yaakov. So what does Yaakov really hear? He's the b'chor, but what doesn't he want to really admit? Et b'chorah l'tilakach. But what did Esav really do? Et b'chorah l'tilakach. Right? It was really what Esav did. So again, how is Esav seeing Yaakov? Right? That Yaakov is really acting and taking things away from me instead of that I acted in a certain way and I gave it away and lost it, which means, again, that Tanakh is trying to define the Esav and Yaakov idea in the same way with Cain and Hevel, which means, are you blaming other people for what happens to you, or are you going to change things on your own? And again, when you see the language, it's very interesting. So Esav, what does he do? Vayisa Esav, Pasuk Lamed Chet, et kolo vayesh. He cries. What did we see with Cain? He's upset, which means what is the first line of reaction? Emotional. Upset, right? Definitely the emotional part of it. And what happens as a result? He says, did you leave me a bracha? Right? Atzal sali bracha. He says, okay, I'll give you a bracha, but the bracha is limited, which means I gave the main bracha to Yaakov. You have a bracha, but what does he tell him in the end? Pasuk mem. V'haya kasher tarid. But if you want, ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. You will be able to overthrow Yaakov, which means, where's the key to Esav's success? That if he wants to, at a certain point, ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. So he's telling him that you can initiate by acting on your own volition, you can overcome Yaakov. But what does Esav choose to do? And the language, again, is very similar. Vayistom Esav. Esav hates Yaakov. Ala bracha asher bercho aviv. Vayomer Esav bilibo. He says in his heart, right? Because what do we have with Vayomer Cain? What does it say? Look in Pasuk Chet, right? In Perak Dalet, number 1. Vayomer Cain el hevel achiv. Does it say what they say? No, because where is hatred? Where is usually the feeling of anger? It's in your heart. You don't really say it. So we don't know what Cain even said to Hevel. But, right, he was building up this anger in his heart. He never really did anything with it. Same thing with Esav. What is Esav doing? Vayomer Esav bilibo, he says in his heart. Yikrevu yimei evel avi, and what does he want to do to Yaakov? Va'aharga et Yaakov achi. Okay, so again, we have a similar concept here, but Rivka is so smart. What does she realize? What was happening with Hevel and with Cain? It was immediate, right? Hashem tells this to Cain. Right away, what does he do? He goes to Hevel and he kills him basadeh. So Rivka says, from the emotional point of view, what do they need? They need space, right? So she says, you have to run away. Ad asher yash tashuv chamat achicha. Look at Pasuk Mem Dalet, which means what is taking place here as well, meaning the emotional is extreme. If you act heatedly, emotionally, what's going to happen? You're going to self-destruct. You're going to kill Yaakov. But if you give each other space, right, if you give some time, once his anger will subside, maybe he's not going to treat you in the same way. So what's the key here? The thought of it, knowing that Yaakov is going to take over, or this idea of the immediate emotional hot-headedness at that moment. And if you split, right, what happens? Eventually you see that you can be successful and you will triumph. And what happens when Yaakov meets Esav? Right? Does he kiss him or does he bite him? Right? Meaning, does he really yeshli rav? Meaning, when they finally meet, when Yaakov comes back from Laban, what happens? Esav admits, I've been very successful. Meaning, Esav was able to build himself up. And here we have a very interesting things in Parshanut, which we're not going to be going into detail. But Rashi, in all these places, Gadol Avoni Menaso, says about Cain, he's not admitting his sin. He's saying, Gadol Avoni Menaso, is my sin so terrible? You can't forgive me? Ramban says he is saying vidui. So too with Esav. When Esav vayishak, Rashi brings in the Midrash, it's possible also that he tries to bite him, which means he really sees the villains and the heroes. We want to mark and demark, right, the people who we see as exemplars and the people who we see as individuals who are villains. On the other hand, Ramban, in all these cases, really sees things a little more ambiguously. Is Esav such a bad character? Is Cain such a bad character? Right? He does do tshuva. So we see a very interesting line here in Parshanut, which we're going to only look at a little bit, but not develop that aspect of it completely. So then we have the Achim. And when we have Yosef Ve'Echav, we're going to go through this quickly again. We all know the story. It's not a shiur on Yosef Ve'Echav. It's really Cain Ve'Hevel. We have the same kind of language, which means in the beginning, right, Vayaveh Yosef et dibatam ra'a el avihem. We have Yosef bringing the words of his brothers to his father, which means how is Yosef maybe trying to build himself up? By undermining his brothers, maybe to a certain extent. But what do we see later on? How does he develop himself? He has dreams of his own greatness, which means Yosef begins with the famous story of Cain Ve'Hevel. What's Cain trying to do? He's trying to scoop out the sand from underneath Hevel instead of just building his own pile higher. It would make Cain greater. So in the beginning, how does Yosef try to develop himself? Right? Vayaveh Yosef et dibatam ra'a el avim, undermining the achim. But in the end, what do we see developing? He realizes that's not really the right way. I mean, he did it out of goodness. He tries to, you know, see maybe my father should know what all the brothers are doing. Maybe informing him, he'll see the difference between us. But the right way is not by undermining other people. In the end, not the end, a few psukim later, how does he speak about himself? He has great dreams of greatness. Now, again, that could be annoying to the brothers, but what is he saying in those dreams? I'm developing myself. You'll bow down to me because I have improved myself. I am so great. But it's not anything that's detrimental or really putting down of the brothers, which is very important here. So here we see, how do the brothers react? Vayiru echav. Again, it's all in sibling relationships. Ki oto havavim mikol echav. And here we have the idea of snoto. But when Yosef has the dream, where does his dream take place? Look at Pasuk Zayin. B'toch ha-sadeh. Where do all these things happen? Basadeh. Where does Cain come really overcome Hevel? Basadeh. So this is all happening basadeh. So the idea of achiv, the idea of sina, the idea of sadeh. All these are images that really travel throughout all these events. And yet, vayamru echav, are you going to rule over us? Which means the idea of the sibling relationship. Who is going to be in control? Who is going to be on top? Does there always have to be someone who is going to be successful and other people will not be successful? So again, Pasuk Tedvav, where is Yosef? He's To'eh Basadeh. He's going after Echav, Echav. And again, this is not a Yosef Echav. Shi'ur, it's on Hevel. So we're trying to show the language is really similar, what we have to the Cain Ve'Hevel issue, but more importantly is our last few psukim, which means, So how are they going to deal with this? And what's their first decision? Pasukaf, Va'ata lechu v'nahargehu, which means we have the same image, which means how does Cain deal with Hevel? By killing him. How does Esav want to deal with Yaakov? By killing him. How do the brothers initially want to deal with Yosef? By killing him. And yet, what does Reuven say? Reuven says, Al tishpechu dam, kafet. Don't spill blood. Again, where do we have this? Kol demei achicha tzuakim alai min adama. You can't kill your brother. What did we learn from Cain v'Hevel? You can't kill your brother because Hashem's going to come back and say what? Ehevel achicha. Right? And Hashomer Achi Anochi, there's going to be, you'll have to confess in the end. But what's missing here? He doesn't deal with Yosef as a brother, which means what did we see in the whole Cain v'Hevel issue? What do we see in those kind of issues, in sibling issues? The sibling part of it, the relationship, the family part of it is very important. How do you see your responsibility to others, whether within a community of brothers or really within a family? What does Yehudah say? El echav, ma betza kina roget achinu, v'chisinu et amo. The same idea of Cain v'Hevel. We can't do the Cain v'Hevel thing, so we're not going to kill him, but what are we going to do? We're going to sell him. Which means the achim at this point learn half of the lesson of Cain v'Hevel. Which means they're going to put him in a boar, and what do they do? V'yafshitu et Yosef et kutanto. What do they do in order to defeat, so to speak, Yosef? They take off his clothes, which means they're trying to demean Yosef. In the end, how do we see that Yehudah really builds himself up? By realizing what? That he has to really develop himself as an individual. And that's when she says, you know, Hotziyu of a Tisaref, who's the problem? Tamar, what do you have to do to her? Destroy her. But in the end, what does he realize? Tzadkami meni. What does he have to do? Build himself up. He takes responsibility. And we see how the story of Yehudah develops. And that's why, as opposed to Reuven, who never does a full vidui, who never really develops himself, so Reuven's not a bad character. Because what did he do? He stopped them from killing Yosef. But why does Yehudah develop as the leader? Because he doesn't just stay at the status quo. Like Cain stays at the status quo, he really moves ahead. He makes something of himself and develops himself, Vayigashalav Yehudah, and then we have the idea of Miteref Bini Alita. From the teref of Yosef, Alita Vinitaleta. Mitorfoshel Tamar, Alita Vinitaleta, which means when you have an experience and you are brought down, how do you rise up? And Yehudah was able to do that. So Yehudah is an example, right, of learning the lesson of Cain v'Hevel, but instead of leaving it where Cain did, he takes Im Teitiv Se'et, which means you can raise yourself up. So we have that paradigm. Now, the two that we have that are examples of brotherly love that really succeed as brotherly love is Moshe and Aharon and the stories of David and Yonatan, which means when you learn in Tanakh about this idea of sibling rivalry or of competition, so many times it ends up that there's fierce competition. And the question is, how do you develop yourself? We see in the end Yishmael develops himself, Esav develops himself. We see that the Achim all develop themselves, and instead of only having one who really succeeds, we have all the Shifteka really succeeding. So in the end, we find that everyone really finds their own modus vivendi, even though there was a lot of trauma to get there. So the question is, where do we find no trauma in trying to develop this idea of sibling success? Do you always have to have a trauma and then get over it and then move on? Or can you actually learn from the Cain v'Hevel that you can avoid that lechatchila by seeing it the imtetiv se'et, self-improvement and realizing your own position? That also can lead to a certain kind of understanding and success. Not that you're always an also-ran and you're not successful. So with, again, Moshe and Aaron, we have the same language that we have with Cain v'Hevel. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe. Who's angry at Moshe when Moshe does not want to go on this shlichut? Hashem. Vayicharaf, right? Cain, lama charalacha. Hashem is angry at Moshe that he doesn't want to move ahead. And he says, hello, Aaron, achicha halevi. Your brother, Aaron, I know that he knows how to speak. V'inehu yotzeh likratecha v'racha v'samach bilibo. Esav says, bilibo, he wants to kill you. Cain, it doesn't tell us what he's saying, but we know what he's thinking. But what do we see here? What do we see here? It's very interesting. V'racha v'samach bilibo, which means even in his heart, how does he feel towards you? Positively, which means it's possible for two brothers who are competitors, who are vying for the same leadership position, to really be happy one for the other. And in the end, what do? They are a team. But look at the meeting place. Kavzayin. Vayom Rashem al Aharon lech likrat Moshe hamidbara. This is their sadeh. empty, no one's around. What could Aharon do when he meets Moshe in the Midbar, all alone, when no one's around? He could kill him, he could destroy him, right? And yet, Vayitzkasheu Bahar Elokim, Vayishaklo, unambiguous. Here, the Vayishaklo, he kisses him, and later on, what do we see? They don't have to part because they can't stay together, right? They stay together, which means they become the ultimate team, Aharon and Moshe. So here we have the idea of each one playing their important role in the sibling relationship, and each one can be successful by realizing that each one has their role. What's Aharon's role? Daber yedaberhu. So he'll be the spokesman. You'll be the thinker. You'll be the great individual. Again, that's a whole sheer all in and of itself with Moshe and Aharon, but that's what we see here as the main concept. And we have the same thing with Yonatan, David, and Shaul. And Yonatan, David, and Shaul is very interesting to us because there we have a very complicated issue. Who, in the Shaul-David relationship, who is Cain? Shaul. What does Shaul want to do constantly to David once he sees that David is overcoming him and David is successful and is going to be the next Melech? He constantly wants to kill him and to, you know, destroy the enemy, and then he feels his melucha is going to be successful. And we see this countless times, and we also see the language speaking about Shaul is this way as well. But who's the foil for Shaul? Yonatan. Yonatan is his son. Yonatan is really a counterpart to David. He's successful. He's a great warrior. He speaks always about Hashem. He knows how to bring all of Bnei Israel together. He's successful in battle. So what would you expect of Yonatan? Who's the biggest competition? David is the biggest competition to Yonatan because that's the next generation taking over. And yet Yonatan decides not to beat him, but to join him. And he tries to explain to his father that you can't lead your whole life trying to destroy David, right? You should really be working and dealing with yourself. And again, we're just going to do this quickly because I want to get to the other parshanut. What we see is the language. Look at the different psukim. Pasuk hey, where are they going to hide? Basadeh, right? Pasuk Zayin. What is going to be the reaction of Shaul? Imcharo yechareh. But let's meet in the sadeh. I'll ask my father questions, like we saw with Cain and Hevel. And where do they meet in the end? Right? In the sadeh. Pasuk Lamed, I'm skipping ahead, towards the bottom. Vayichar af Shaul v'Yonatan. Again, the same language of Cain. And what does he want to do to him? He wants to kill him. Ki ben mavetu, right? The way for you to be successful, Yonatan, is to do what? Destroy David. And yet, what does Yonatan choose to? Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayosef Yonatan lashpia et David, ba'avato oto ki avat nafsho ahivo. Why do we always show the relationship of David and Yonatan as the ultimate relationship? Because they're the ultimate competitors. And they're also family. They're brothers-in-law, right? Yonatan's sister is Michal. David is married to Michal. He's going to usurp his father's position. So this is the most intricate relationship that we have. And despite all that, despite that they are competitors, despite that Yonatan's ticket to success is really to kill David, what do we learn in Tanakh? If you kill the competition, right, you're always going to be wandering. You'll never be successful. Meaning it's not about killing the others. It's not about looking and blaming the others that it's their fault that you're not successful. It's all inward. It's all how you make your decision, how you decide to change your destiny. And in the end, when they make this brit, that's why we're so fascinated by it. Because really, these are the ultimate competitors. These are the ultimate individuals who really should hate each other, try to kill each other, right? And yet, they have this kind of bond because each one realizes that their success will be, right, only by not only letting the other person live, but of joining forces. But it's so unusual because throughout all of Tanakh, we don't have this kind of relationship. It's very rare. Right, and that's why also Benot Shlov Chad for us, the five daughters who come to Moshe, each one, right, also these five daughters on one hand are great competitors one with the others, but on the other hand, when they join forces, they're even more successful than when they break apart. So now we want to see the Parshanut, which means we saw in Tanakh that the message is you have to build yourself up. It's all about family. It's all about jealousy. It's all about emotions. How do you deal with that, and how do you really project that for the future? If you destroy the competition, you in the end are going to be destroyed. And all of Sefer Melachim, what do we have? If you kill the entire family of the kings, right, who came before you, what will happen to you as a midah keneged midah? You will completely be destroyed. So if you killed them, in the end, you will be destroyed. So destroying others and killing the competition, it's really not your ticket to success. So what do the Mefarshim say? Do they see it only microcosmically? Which means, do they care about all these other stories in Tanakh and they will include them? Or is this just about Cain v'Hevel? Is it just about humanity? Is it just about being a person? And what kind of lessons, what kind of moral issues are the Mefarshim really trying to deal with? And how do they see Tanakh in general? So here we're going to see something very interesting. Unculus, one of our first Mefarshim, who translates into Aramaic. What is it, Haloyim Tetiv Se'et? That's our big question. What does it mean if you improve yourself, you'll do better, but if not, you'll have this hovering next to you, but you can always overcome it. So Uncle Oz says something very simple. Haloyim Totiv Uvdach. If you really improve your actions, Yishtavech Lach. You will be forgiven. But if you don't improve your actions, until your judgment day, all your actions are going to be holed up, added up, and then, right, what's going to happen? You're going to be paid back for them. Ve'im tatuv, but if you improve and you do tshuva, yishtavek lach, you will be forgiven. Which means if you improve your actions, you'll be forgiven. If you don't improve your actions, you won't be forgiven. What was Hashem telling Cain? And what is the parshan really speaking? He's speaking to us, which means the message to Cain is really a message to us. If you do tshuva, if you improve your actions, you will be forgiven. If you don't improve, you'll never be forgiven. This will always be hovering till your judgment day. So Uncle Listen, we know he's one of our first lines of parshanot, so he really plays a very important role. Rav Saadia Gaon, we're going to go into the Spanish school now. Right, Rav Saadia, not Spanish, really not fair. He's really from Mitzrayim into Babel, 882 to 942. Right, he wrote the Arabic Tafsir, Emunot V'Deyot, big philosopher, Rav Saadia Gaon. So he says he's very interested in the language, in Pshat, and he's and also philosophy. Ve'el Kain umin chato lo kibel. He's the first one to say, you know, it's not just about Kain, it's not about his mincha, it's Kain himself as well. Which means Hashem doesn't accept, it says Ve'el Kain u'minchato, which means Hashem doesn't accept Kain and his present. Which is not just about the present. It's not just if you do a better present, if you bring a better thing. It's not just about what you give, what you're doing, it's who you are. So Hashem doesn't accept Kain and his mincha. And vayiplu panav mibusha. What's the most important thing? Not improving your actions, and Unkelos is saying. It's the emotions. Emotions play a huge role, Rasag is saying, in your life. And when you're upset and when you're emotionally distraught, that really colors everything and how you behave. Now, there's another piece that somehow didn't come into the file when I sent it. I'm going to tell it to you right now. Halo im teitiv tukubal. Ve'im lo teitiv, az bechol makom shetifne, chatatcha rovetz. Vahadavar masur biyadecha, ואתה שליט עליו בדרך הבחירה. Rasag wants to say free choice in this world is the key to everything. Your emotions, even though you have emotions, what can you always do? You always have free choice to decide how you want to go. So even though we have the emotional component, what always overcomes it? The intellectual. The bechira, your choice. And you can always choose to do the right thing. So again, Rasag is speaking to Kain Vehevel, but really who is he speaking to? Generations, which means he's speaking, what does it mean to be a person? What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to turn your life around? What does it mean? We're all in the Hevel Kain situation. That's what life is all about. So what do you learn from that? So what's fascinating, I want to go now to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, because that is the Spanish school. We're continuing in the Spanish school. The Ibn Ezra definitely is a continuer of the lessons of the Spanish tradition, that Rasag and all of his linguistic and pshat information really traveling through. So Ibn Ezra says in Breshit Perek Dalet, I just want to start from Vanachon Beinai on the top, on the first line. Vanachon Beinai Se'et Panim, right? Who said Se'et Panim? The Rasag. So he's quoting the Rasag, which means it's Se'et Panim, which means it's not about doing better actions. It's about what? Se'et Panim. Meaning, how could you lift your face? How could you feel better about yourself? Which means emotional versus how do you act and take care of these things, right? Because what does it say? Vayiplu panav. And what is vayiplu panav? Derech busha, right? So he's embarrassed. And let's go to the last vanachon beinai, right? He says, vanachon beinai, my idea, I'll bring you other people's idea. Hanachon beinai, my idea, I'll give you other people's idea. You usually learn Ramban and think, oh, Ramban is the first one who created that. But no, right? He's really copying the traditions that we have earlier. Right, v'hanachon beinai, the last two lines, shechatat samuch. It's lefeta chatat rovetz. Chatat of what? If it was just chet, it would be lefeta chet rovetz. So what's chatat samuch? It means something. So he's saying chatat hayetzer. It's chatat hayetzer v'yetzer lev ha'adam hu rovetz imo. Ve'elecha tshukato ki hayetzer yashuv al mishmatcha beretzoncha gam yesh b'cha koach limshol bo. Which means what really governs us many times? Our yetzer, our emotions. But what do we have the ability to do? We have the koach to rule over it, because it'll go under our mishmat. So here we see a very interesting thing of the Spanish school, which means emotions are very important. They run very high. But what do you always have the ability to do? To control them with your intelligence, with your discipline, right, with your free choice. Now I'm flipping back to Rashi. Rashi's earlier, right? Rashi's earlier, 1040 to 1105 northern France. So what are the messages that Rashi wants us to get from Cain v'Hevel, right? General messages about life. And here we find it also very interesting. Ve'elecha tshukato. Everyone have it? We're back on page 3. Ve'elecha tshukato. Ve'elecha tshukato shel chatat. What do you always want to do? What are you always trying to go after? Chatat. Shehu what? Yetzer hara. Look very carefully. What did Ibn Ezra say? What are we constantly fighting against? Our yetzer, your emotions. And what is Rashi bringing in? Again, he's earlier, right? What is he bringing in? The idea of what? Yetzer hara, which means what is constantly going after you? Not just your emotions, but the yetzer hara. And Rashi really gets this from the Midrash. The Bereishit Rabbah really delves into this whole idea of what is constantly hovering with Cain, what's constantly sitting on him, what's constantly sitting in Adam, Isha, the Nachash. It's a Nachash, it's the Yetzer Hara, which means what's always going after you? It's the Yetzer Hara, not just emotions, not just, right, the irrational versus the rational, but it's the Yetzer Hara. It's constantly after you. Tamid shokeko mitavel hachshilcha. It's always trying to undermine you. So when you fight against the Yetzer Hara, is that a strong battle or an okay battle? A huge, right, a huge battle, right? A cataclysmic battle. Ve'im tirtzeh titgaber alav. But if you want, you can always overcome it. So what we find here very interestingly is this mix between the Midrash, which means it lefetach chatat rovetz ve'lecha tshukato, is not just yetzer, it's not just emotion, it's the yetzer hara that's constantly really going at you. So what does Rashi want you to understand from this? What's the idea of Cain v'Hevel? The idea of the yetzer hara, the idea of the emotions of a yetzer hara, not just emotionality, but it's really the yetzer hara that you constantly have to fight against. Now, the Rashbam, who's Rashi's grandson, who really wants to turn away more from the Midrash, because in the words, does it say yetzer hara? It just says, lefeta chatat rovetz, ve'lecha tshukato v'tatim sholbo. It doesn't say at all anything about yetzer hara, right? It just says, lefeta chatat. So the Rashbam says, what's the key to life? To do more tova, to do more mitzvot than chataim. Which means it's not a constant struggle with the yetzer hara. It's not just the idea that you have your emotions coming after you all the time. What is the key to life, right? That you have to do more good than bad. You see, our Rashbam, klomar im teitiv shelo taseh avonot ki im me'at se'et. If you do a few avonot, you can carry that burden and you can continue. But if you do a lot of avonot, they all sit on you. Elofeta chatat rovet. It's like hovering on you and you can't move ahead. So now we come to the Ramban, which we're going to. See, they covered the clock this time. I love that. But we have 3 minutes. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban says something very interesting. The Ramban really brings in all the Mefarshim. Halo im teitiv se'et. Right? The other Mefarshim, Onkulus, Rashi, Radak. We didn't do the Radak, but the Radak is a great mix of the Ashkenazic school and the Sfard school. On the one, he says, yeah, Yetzer Hara is coming after you all the time. The file that I sent, Yetzer Hara is right before Ve'lecha Tshukato. Yetzer Hara is going after you all the time. It's trying to undermine you, but you can totally overcome it with Bechira. So it's a great mix. Radak is in southern France, in Provence, is really a conduit of Sfarad and Ashkenaz studies, and we see both. Yes, the Yetzer Hara is constantly coming to go after you, but what can you always do with free choice? You can always fight against it. But Ramban says something very interesting. Number one, he's influenced by Ibn Ezra. What's the main thing here? The busha, the embarrassment. But he brings something very interesting. And look at the last 5 lines that we have here. As I speak, read it. Why is he upset? Right? Ve'al da'ati. Why is he upset? Because usually the Bechor has what position? Has the main position. The Bechor should be the main position. What does Cain know about himself? He's the Bechor. He should be in the main position. So he's embarrassed that he doesn't have that position. And now he's jealous. Bekinato, that's why he kills his brother, because he's his brother, right? And he has this jealousy and he has this feeling of inadequacy. Here we see how the Ramban is not just dealing with this pasuk, with these psukim, which he is, but he's also looking at all of Tanakh and seeing how does this play out in Tanakh. It's the idea of brothers, the idea of kinah, the idea of sinah, the idea of the position of Bechor that we expect in a certain way. So the Ramban is really dealing with this piece, but he's really putting all of the different issues in Tanakh that we know together. And that's why, even though Radak is a great parshan who brings in the two schools, Ramban really already takes it to another height. And I just want to end with Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, actually, because Rabbi J.J. Schechter, also brought in the Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. So I want to finish with that one. for our piece, and then we'll just do 1 minute of overview. What happened here with Cain v'Hevel, which means what is sin, what is desire? Till now, every way we described it, it is a very strong emotion, right? And Rabbi Hirsch also says, by itself, it remains quietly before your door. More, all its desire is that you should master it and direct it. For Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch, the issue is sin or desire or emotion is not good or bad. It's neutral. And what you do with it really defines what your life will be, which means it's not Yetzer Hara coming after you all the time, which means sin or desire, all these things are neutral, and it's your attitude towards it that really changes how you're going to deal with it. So what we saw is really very interesting, this correlation between, number one, pshat in its microcosm, and how does Tanakh see it in intertextual, meaning explaining and really responding to that original Cain v'Hevel, how it plays out in different experiences, and we don't always expect that to be the one experience, right? We also have Moshe and Aharon, we also have David and Yonatan, but on the other flip side, we saw also with the Parshanim, which means how are they seeing this issue? Is it a global issue? Is it reflected of the other places in Tanakh, or is it really just a personal message that the Mefarshim are seeing? How should you behave like? Cain v'Hevel is speaking to you. It's giving you a personal message, and either we see it as a microcosm of all the different things in Tanakh, or we just see it in this one place just about the human condition. So another time we'll do a lot of the other issues. Thank you very much.